am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Listen.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Tuesday, February 1st, 2022 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And it is a wild and dystopic ride. Happy Black History Month. So what does that even mean? Like most things, it's a psyop. It's like a mystery wrapped in an enigma surrounded by a conundrum, that kind of thing. You know, it's layers of the onion that is intended to mislead people and cause societal conflict, get people infighting. And so here we are. And yesterday we played a rebroadcast of some of the remarks that I had as we went through kind of around Martin Luther King Day. I did a few broadcasts on that. And I think that, you know, so many things that are happening should serve as a wake-up call, you know, the Streisand effect in full effect. It should be a wake-up call to us all, really. I mean, there should be no societal infighting at this point. It's interesting, speaking of Martin Luther King Day, I mean, it's pretty obvious by just about any direction you come at the subject, the discussion of the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., and for that matter, Bobby Kennedy, JFK, Malcolm X, and a number of other folks. You know, I think that Muammar Gaddafi had a great point in that what I call 9/11 truth speech he gave September 23rd, 2009, I believe it was, at the UN General Assembly. He was supposed to speak for about 10, maybe 15 minutes tops, and he ended up speaking for over 100 minutes, waving that little white booklet and saying, isn't it curious how there are members who basically can do whatever they want, UN members who can kind of do whatever they want, and they pick on other members, and there are mechanisms in place to prevent that, but it never happens. There are groups organizations like the Human Rights Council that even points out that the two worst human rights violators on the planet, Israel and Saudi Arabia, kind of operate with impunity, and they are our dearest allies in the region. And the United States, that is. So how does this keep happening? If something isn't desperately wrong. Anyway, this is, to kind of bring it back to a national level, this is kind of what I mean. It's interesting as we see, well, to finish the thought on Muammar Gaddafi, one of the things that he said during that speech, that fiery speech, was we should reopen investigations into the deaths of a number of folks. He said we should reopen investigations into September 11, 2001, and a number of other bombings that are essentially false flag. You know, there's ample evidence. History tells us that, you know, how, like Patrick Claussen said, remember, Patrick Claussen spilled the beans in very plain language back in 2012, how to build U.S.-Israeli coordination on preventing an Iranian nuclear breakout. Speaking of terrorists, I mean, excuse me, our dearest allies in the region, Noam Chomsky and Howard Zinn and, others, as misguided as they may be on some things, they are correct when they say that the United States is the terrorism factory. You know, others have said the same thing. Trevor Aronson, how this FBI strategy is actually creating U.S.-based terrorists. He wrote the book, The Terror Factory, Inside the FBI's Manufactured War on Terrorism. It's a put-up job. Patrick Claussen told us, you know, this is the traditional way America gets to war. False flag operations. And James Perloff, in Shadows of Power, went into great detail, his book, and also his talk that he gave, the one in particular. But Shadows of Power has been out for quite some time now. When was it originally published? 88, I want to say. Yeah, 1988. The Council on Foreign Relations and the American Decline. So that was, you know, approaching 100 years from when old school generational bad guy Edward Mandel House was orchestrating or helping to orchestrate things from behind the scenes. Anyway, back to the point. So Muammar Gaddafi says we should reopen investigations into a number of these essentially false flag operations, these false flag episodes, and a number of assassinations, JFK, RFK, Martin Luther King, Patrice Lumumba, Dag Hammarskjöld, and other folks. What was going on there? Why? And what you find, I think, in a number of these instances, is that there's always an effort to create chaos and conflict. Just about the time that people like Bobby Kennedy in particular, and Martin Luther King, and Malcolm X, and others are starting to get things figured out and saying, now wait a minute, we shouldn't be fighting. Like Malcolm X said, you know, if we're not careful, the media will have you hating your ally and loving your kidnapper in Stockholm Syndrome fashion. And I'm paraphrasing, but seems like when people of any influence start to get that figured out, something bad happens. And I suspect that might have been along the lines of what Muammar Gaddafi was trying to intimate. So here we are, it's Black History Month. There should be we play that intro, hating Breitbart, Andrew Breitbart getting it figured out. I'm sick and tired of this phony cultural clash, this clash of civilizations. Clash of civilizations is a thesis that people's cultural and religious identities will be the primary source of conflict in the post-Cold War world. Well, why would you collide all of these people together? Well, to destroy some and then to create a homogeneous mass of the remaining. And there are some interesting psychological forces at work when that starts to happen. I'll talk about some of that in a minute. So from Wikipedia, the American political scientist Samuel P. Huntington argued that future wars would be fought not between countries, but between cultures. Does the media have anything to do with that? Is the media promoting these ideas? And they're very hotly contested. Speaking of clash of civilizations, is the media promoting the nonsense of, you know, gender pronouns and things like that, which does not correlate to reality? It's hotly contested. It creates a cultural divide. And speaking of Black History Month, the media is, and when folks at Fox News talk about the media, it's when they say the media as though they are not part of it, it's very disingenuous. It's dishonest, quite frankly. So that's interesting. But the media is keeping that ball in the air, so to speak, and playing that up, you know, the subject of cultural Marxism, critical theory, critical race theory in particular. And, you know, these kinds of things should have us asking questions and talking to one another in a very calm, level-headed sort of fashion instead of fighting. It's interesting how easy it is for a third party to get us to fighting together, generally speaking, so to speak. You know, there's this voice from on high, this influence that whispers to you and I, and the next thing you know, against our better judgment, here we are fighting with each other. Why is that? And if we won't fight with each other, then they'll help some false flag strategy of tension event occur in typical hop fashion. It happened on purpose. You know, IHOP fashion, it happened on purpose. Whether it's the let it happen on purpose, help it happen on purpose, or make it happen on purpose variety, it still is happening on purpose. Or certainly not. Isn't it interesting that, you know, we have all of these mechanisms in place, greater and greater. You know, we keep hearing that people around the world aren't responsible enough to take care of themselves, so we need organizations like the United Nations. No more war. Guess what? Just like Muammar Gaddafi pointed out, since the organization has been in existence, we've had more war than ever in recorded memory. more conflict, more fighting. Isn't it funny how the more organizations that we get and the more consolidation of power, we just seem to get more of the same. It's almost as if that's happening on purpose. So Huntington writes, The Clash of Civilizations, Wikipedia says it was proposed in a 1992 lecture at the American Enterprise Institute, which was then developed in a 1993 Foreign Affairs article. That's speaking of James Perloff's book, The Shadows of Power, The Council on Foreign Relations and the American Decline. Foreign Affairs is the Council on Foreign Relations quarterly periodical. It was proposed in a 1992 lecture at the American Enterprise Institute, which was then developed in a 1993 Foreign Affairs article titled The Clash of Civilizations? That's the devil's suggestiblest title. The answer is implicit in the question, and it's a devious, misleading, destructive, implicit answer, rhetorical question. And answer. In response to his former student Francis Fukuyama's 1992 book, The End of History and the Last Man, we've talked about that as well, Huntington later expanded his thesis in a 96 book, Clash of Civilization and the Remaking of World Order. I mean, the title is pretty straightforward. This is the idea. So these philosopher kings are exploited, essentially, to flesh out these diabolical ideas to do just that, remake world order. This is something that's been, you know, the devil and his minions have been at this for quite some time. I mean, with concerted fervor for, say, 100, 150 years now, for sure. I mean, these plans keep coming out into full view and being published, either folks like Admiral Chester Ward give full disclosure of what they've seen in the inner sanctum, or other folks like Gary Allen do quite a bit of research and publish their findings, or Anthony Sutton, folks like that. So the plans are disclosed every once in a while, and then somehow we lose our focus for a minute, and then those things seem to evaporate. The proof of conspiracy seems to evaporate. Or maybe we let it vanish from our grasp. So continuing from the Wikipedia entry, Clash of Civilizations. The phrase itself was earlier used by Albert Camus and others, by Bernard Lewis in an article in September 1990 issue of Atlantic Monthly titled The Roots of Muslim Rage. Muslim Rage, which calls to mind the Wahhabi Salafi contingent. Again, manufactured clash, manufactured sides. And others. Even earlier, the phrase was used in a 1926 book regarding the Middle East by Basil Matthews, Young Islam on Trek, A Study in the Clash of Civilizations, page 196. So, you know, and that calls to mind British intrigue and the fomenting of the Wahhabi Salafi faction. You know, there's, like Pike wrote in his allegedly spurious letter, August 15, 1871, colliding the forces of political Zionism against what I would call political Islam. People say Islam, but that's disingenuous. It's this radical fundamentalist Wahhabi Salafi contingent that is rooted in Saudi Arabia. That's the wellspring of it. Our dearest ally in the region. Even PBS Frontline finds it a head-scratcher, a curious observation that ISIS is just doing exactly what Saudi Arabia is doing. Saudi Arabia beheaded more people than ISIS. but we're concerned about ISIS and not our dearest ally in the region? Interesting. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But
welcome back. Speaking of the clash of civilizations, this subject goes back further again. This Black History Month reminds me of all of this stuff. And to me, having Black History Month and trying to get people fighting, what do you mean trying to get people fighting? Well, what happens is the the under-informed or the slightly informed or the propagandized, but, you know, otherwise unwashed masses hear things like, you know, Black History Month. And on one side of the discussion, you have this, you know, how come Black folks only get 1 month and why is it the shortest month of the year? And on the other side of the discussion, you know, that foments some kind of ire. And what should be happening is we should be able to have a conversation where we say, now hold on a second, who is being celebrated during this month? We should be able to come together and, you know, white folks should be able to say, you know, some people will have you believe that the other, you know, some people will say, well, you know, when someone says, well, what about a White History Month? People will say, well, you get the other 11 months of the year. In truth, that's not accurate because it's certainly not my history that the media is promulgating and, you know, others, academia, the credentialed journalists, the credentialed academia, where does all of this credentialing come from? And why do these people get to tell a story that is frankly false? You know, what they said about Martin Luther King on Martin Luther King Day again this year, the credentialed media and academia is false. It should get us asking questions at the very least. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. We know that. But if it really was a conspiracy that involved high levels of the United States government, military intelligence, local law enforcement, local mafia, and, you know, others, if that's really the case, then isn't the question as much the question who? And we know, particularly from William Pepper's research, that it certainly wasn't James Earl Ray who fired the fatal shot, but the shot wasn't even fatal. And we know that Martin Luther King did not die there on scene at the hotel. He was murdered in the hospital, as the story goes. So the question, I think, as much as, you know, as much as the question who is important, I think the question why is also important. Why Bobby Kennedy Jr. a couple of months later? Why Malcolm X? Why JFK? Why? So when it comes to the issue of, you know, just the subject of Black History Month is contentious. It foments this concept of the clash of civilizations. And what we should be doing is asking questions. You know, why were these influential folks, call them leaders if you will, why were they assassinated? And why did it involve a conspiracy that's been covered up, even though, you know, even when it comes to the JFK assassination, sure, there was the Warren Commission primarily led by Alan Dulles. I wonder what you get. I mean, Alan Dulles was the guy who said, doesn't matter, you know, the American people don't read. But just a short time later, what was it, 1975, I want to say Congress concluded that there probably was a conspiracy, but then dismissed the actual conspiracy and led the public off into limited hangout land. But even Congress concluded after the fact that, yes, Virginia, there probably was a conspiracy to assassinate JFK, and it wasn't just a lone gunman. It wasn't just Lee Harvey Oswald. So shouldn't these things have us asking why? Why? Why these people? So, we'll get back to the clash of civilizations when we come back. Stick around.
truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With patriotinternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, patriotinternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from patriotinternet.com. Visit patriotinternet.com today.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Welcome back. Bottom of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Tuesday, February 1st, 2022, the beginning of Black History Month. And yes, I say that somewhat derisively, not toward people, but, you know, just because, I mean, who gave us this month that we're supposed to look into, and why? Again, the question I think that is important is why, and what does it do? Does it inform people and help us understand one another better and live in peace, or does it seem to foment discord? And if that, then again, the question is why? How is that happening, and why? For what purpose? So, you know, it's interesting. I think if we're going to study, if it's going to be Black History Month, great. Let's maybe, can we talk about, I don't know, we'll play some of Alan Watts' broadcasts and the clip that we just played recently. you know, the history of certain things, and why does it seem like the eugenicists want to target certain people groups in particular? And then that should have us asking questions. You bring that forward to sort of a contemporary context. Maybe in Black History Month we could ask questions like, why was, first of all, why have, you know, however you want to say it, why is this demographic of folks seem, why do they seem to be targeted by eugenicists of, you know, power and influence? And, you know, whether it's Ben Carson talking about Planned Parenthood in certain neighborhoods, Margaret Sanger, and, you know, what she said, or, you know, other folks who have said similar things. Why are certain folks singled out and targeted by the eugenicists? That's interesting. In a variety of ways, propagandized and all kinds of other things. You know what? We'll just sterilize these undesirables. No, wait, we'll propagandize them and make them think it's their idea. We'll have them do it to themselves and each other, and we'll have them think it's their idea. Why is that happening? And then to bring that forward to a contemporary sort of context, what you have that background, and now in the COVID era, why was the, speaking of the philosopher kings in credentialed academia, the think tanky types, why were the think tanky types talking about, and then they're still doing it, why have they been talking about before the vaccines rolled out, why were they saying, you know, if we get a vaccine, we need to appeal to the Black community and say, you know, I know that you've had these issues in the past, you know, legitimate concerns about, well, you know, the ugly history of eugenics in America, but you know what? We need to tell people it's okay now. You need to trust these companies that have been involved in this eugenics effort to sterilize and exterminate certain folks. Why was the think tank and academia community, you know, cooking up scenarios to deal with that pushback? Isn't that strange? Why would you even think about that? Unless you are some kind of a Machiavellian type that is up to no good. It doesn't make any sense. So maybe we should be talking about those things. That's kind of what I mean when I say it should be the Streisand effect in full effect. These things that bad guys are trying to hide that really should shine a bright light. You know, the effort to obscure or hide certain things should really be the clarion call to shine a bright light on it. And it should have us all talking to each other. You know, everybody of any complexion, so to speak, should be talking to everyone else in America, the plebs, generally speaking, those of us who are not in positions of power and influence, who don't hold credentialed, you know, academic or media or political positions, the power elite, as C. Wright Mills put it. We should all be talking to each other, saying, gosh, this is funny. Why was the academic and think tank community targeting this one particular issue and this one particular demographic to say, no, trust these companies, trust these people. No, it's a good thing. In advance. Why? Isn't that telling? Doesn't that inform our discretion in any sort of way? These kinds of things, to me, we should all be talking about. And if we did that, we started to have those conversations, we would realize that not only are we not one another's enemy, but we've been pitted against one another very strategically, very subtly, artfully, seductively, and you know, in very very artful, very plausibly deniable, seemingly imperceptible sorts of ways. And I've talked about this before. You know, when people watch things on the news, for example, or wherever, in the media or whatever, one of the questions I think folks should ask themselves is, and it's interesting to turn the sound off sometimes, just watch the images, and then, you know, maybe listen to the sound after. You'll find it curious. Sometimes the image doesn't seem to match the story. Why is that? Or the image is designed, you know, a picture is worth a thousand words, and there are only so many words that fit in that news segment. So what are those images doing? And you ask yourself, you know, how does this make me feel as I'm watching and or listening? It's a curious thing. So talking about Clash of Civilizations in view of so-called Black History Month, and I hope I'm making myself clear. I think that we all should be having a conversation and understanding these issues better. Let me put it to you this way. I mean, I talked about, maybe I'll dive into this a little bit deeper, maybe in the second hour. But, you know, at the end of Friday's broadcast, last Friday, January 28th, 2022, I mentioned, we closed with, I read Oswald Chambers' My Utmost for His Highest entry for the day, January 28th, and it's titled, "But It Is Hardly Credible That One Could So Persecute Jesus." And I've been talking about that sort of history lesson, speaking of history months, and it's really just a history lesson, you know, the sort of the juxtaposition of what the Bible says versus the portrayal. And that happens with everything and everyone these days. The media talks about people, and but we never hear from those people. Or, you know, we hear about a particular issue from a certain angle or perspective, but it's usually not, if it's some issue that pertains to a certain people group, we don't hear from those people. You know, we don't hear from the folks in other countries, for example. We certainly don't hear from the average citizen, so to speak. We hear from academics and think tanky types and the experts, the philosopher kings and the pundits, and so on and so on. So it's theater, and in the same sense, the Bible is portrayed in a variety of ways, and people who think that they believe it are propagandized a variety of ways, and that creates a certain kind of dynamic, and that's interesting. So I've been trying to make the distinction between all of this counterfeit stuff and the authentic. So the conclusion of Oswald Chambers' entry on January 28th, titled, "But It Is Hardly Credible That One Could So Persecute Jesus," I didn't get to the end of it. So here it is in its entirety. In the end, the last couple of sentences in particular are apropos here. So here is the whole entry, just for posterity's sake. "Am I set on my own way for God?" That's a contradiction. An oxymoron. "We are never free from this snare until we are brought into the experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire." What does the fire do? It's like the fuller soap in Malachi. Anyway, obstinacy and self-will will always stab Jesus Christ. It may hurt no one else, but it wounds his spirit. Whenever we are obstinate and self-willed and set upon our own ambitions, we are hurting Jesus. Every time we stand on our rights and insist that this is what we intend to do, we are persecuting Jesus. And again, I think I mentioned it on Friday, but how does that square with our American experience? Every time we stand on our rights. Whenever we stand on our dignity, we systematically vex and grieve his spirit. What do you mean? Well, he makes it clear at the end. Hold on. And when the knowledge comes home that it is Jesus whom we have persecuted, whom we have been persecuting all the time, it is the most crushing revelation there could be. And this with the scripture that he quotes in view of Acts 26:14, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? That's Jesus speaking to Saul before he was Paul the Apostle. Continuing, Chambers writes, is the word of God tremendously keen to me as I hand it on to you? Or does my life give the lie to the things I profess to teach? I may teach sanctification and yet exhibit the spirit of Satan, the spirit that persecutes Jesus Christ. That sentence is a brilliant way to put that, I think, especially with the example of the Apostle Paul in view, or before he's the Apostle Paul, Saul, you know, the guy who's there, the guys as they're stoning Stephen in the book of Acts, they're throwing their coats at his feet to, you know, free themselves up to be able to throw rocks at Stephen. And the Bible records that Saul was in hearty approval of this. And I think it's an amazing illustration. You read after the resurrection and the ascension of Christ, the Bible says that he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And in the story of Stephen, Stephen's preaching, he's bringing the thunder, and these guys are saying, you know, we don't want to hear it. And he just keeps bringing it and bringing it. And the book of Acts says that Stephen saw the heavens opened up and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. He's standing. So to me, that is like Jesus giving Stephen a standing ovation. And then they stone Stephen to death, and he says, he prays, don't hold this against them. Do not hold this sin against them. That's amazing. Now, that's the kind of love that, you know, Romans 5:8 kind of stuff. Anyway, continuing, that's Christian love in a nutshell. That's what it's supposed to look like. Not God save me from your people, bumper stickers. So, Chambers writes, I may teach sanctification and yet exhibit the spirit of Satan, the spirit that persecutes Jesus Christ. That's what Saul was doing. He was a Pharisee's Pharisee, a Jew's Jew. He was, you know, no one was more zealous and religious than Saul. But he was persecuting Jesus Christ. Even Jesus said so. Why persecutest thou me? Continuing, Chambers writes, the spirit of Jesus is conscious of one thing only, perfect oneness with the Father, and he says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. It's interesting how many times in John, for example, the book of John, Jesus says, he talks about the will of him who sent him, or who sent me. It's interesting. Continuing, this is what I didn't get to, and this is the punchline. All I do ought to be founded on a perfect oneness with him, not on a self-willed determination to be godly. This will mean that I can be easily put upon, easily overreached, easily ignored. But if I submit to it for his sake, I prevent Jesus Christ being persecuted. And I look back at some of the footage. I know it's Bernaysian in nature, but still, the folks who were filmed were dignified and behaved themselves in a very dignified sort of fashion. And they, I would say, exhibited this kind of Christian love in a way that we don't see these days, because the clash of civilizations, it's a protracted struggle. It's been intended to be, and it continues. So this idea of being easily put upon, easily overreached, easily ignored, Jesus talked about this in the Beatitudes. You know, there was the Old Testament eye for an eye stuff. Jesus says, we don't, you know what? It's not a different gospel, but you don't need to worry about that stuff anymore. The order of the day now is to love your enemy. And he said, you've heard it said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. But Chris, do you realize? Yeah, I'll explain in simple terms when we come back. Two diverse paths. What happens when we go down each path? Stick around. We'll be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once per year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance, he's going for speed. She's all alone,
alone.
Welcome back. He's haunted by something he cannot define. Two divergent paths ne'er the twain shall meet. So on the one hand, you have, I'm just going to generalize broadly for example, for illustrative purposes. On the one hand, you can see how this, you know, how this goes and how both will produce more of like, more of the same. So on the one hand, you have, let's call it, the Christian experience, where you allow yourself to, as Chambers put it in the January 28th entry of My Utmost for His Highest, you can be easily put upon, easily overreached, easily ignored. But if I submit to it for His sake, I prevent Jesus Christ from being persecuted. But there's more that comes along with that. So on the one hand, you have that. And what happens when you do that? Well, sure, you might be, you know, you might be put upon. You might be inconvenienced. You might experience pain and suffering. But if, you know, for it's a difference in worldview. So for those who believe the Bible, believe Romans 8:28, Revelation 20:21-5, and passages like that, God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love Him, you know, causes all things to work together for His good. That's His character. And when He shows up, when He's invited in, that's what's happening, despite sin, despite what look like tragic, catastrophic circumstances. It's a difference in belief. So if that's happening, then you trust Him to work things together. And some of us have seen it in our lives where, you know what, I allow myself to be inconvenienced time and time and time again. There are countless stories. It's cliche. Children, for example, talking about their parents. We think as children, especially growing up in today's America, that we're smarter than our parents because, let's be honest, society tells us that we should think so. Only to discover and probably rediscover and rediscover around 30, around 40, around 50. Some of us are a little hard-headed and slower than others, maybe. That, guess what? Turns out I'm not smarter than my parents, and there were reasons for these things. So you come to, you know, that softens people and brings people together when we allow those things to take place. We allow people to work through things in their own time, and from the Christian perspective, the Holy Spirit to work and convict people and that kind of thing. And then the other path is where, I'll just say, generally speaking, as Americans, we don't allow ourselves to be put upon or inconvenienced or anything. How dare you? And that leads to more of like. But what happens if we're not fighting and somebody introduces some conflict in a false flag sort of fashion? That produces more of like. Those are divergent paths. Hopefully that makes sense. Maybe I'll unpack it more in the second hour. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.